When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
I'm Alex Rodriguez.
And I'm Jason Kelly.
From Bloomberg, this is The Deal. Each week, you'll hear us in conversation with business icons.
This show will explore deal-making across sports, media, and entertainment.
That is a harsh lesson in business.
Sports is not as simple as bringing a bunch of big names together.
I didn't want to do another stomp you out speech.
It opened up so many more doors.
The show is called The Deal.
Listen to The Deal.
Listen to The Deal on Spotify.
Hello, everybody, and welcome to Iceberg to Go, your daily dose of Pittsburgh Penguins news and analysis. You can find us on YouTube at Inside the Penguins or anywhere you get your podcasts from. The Pittsburgh Penguins have reached a breaking point with their power play, and I'm sure everybody listening to this already has reached a breaking point several weeks ago with them, but at least the organization is finally following suit to what the fan base has been calling for over the past couple of weeks. They've struggled to gain traction since really the first time they all practiced in training camp. We remember the early reports out of UPMC Lemieux Sports Complex up in Cranberry that they looked dysfunctional. It looked clunky. Well, maybe give it some time. Everybody was preaching patience with the Pittsburgh Penguins' top power play unit, and why not? With players like Erik Karlsson, Evgeny Malkin, Sidney Crosby, and Jake Guentzel, you'd hope that eventually they'd figure things out, and you would hope that they would figure things out pretty quickly considering the skill level and the talent of those four players, which make up 80% of that top power play unit. But since then, things have gone in the opposite direction. They've struggled throughout most of this young season that is getting older by the day, not just to score goals and capitalize on these opportunities, but to simply put together productive chances and to build momentum instead of what they're doing right now, which is killing momentum. Every time the Pittsburgh Penguins get a power play at this point, I look at the television or whatever screen I'm using to watch the game and I say, if only they could just decline this power play opportunity, because you know what's going to happen. Even if they're pushing so aggressively, so well, to try to get a goal and they just draw a penalty, which is what you're supposed to be doing, the second they draw that penalty, more often than not this season, it's gone in the opposite direction. Not always a scoring chance or a shorthanded goal, which they've given up a couple this season, but simply just watching the puck get shot back behind the Penguins net time and time again, and having to watch that breakout time and time again as they continue to struggle to get any momentum built through the man advantage. Why are they reaching a breaking point now, though? Well, if you watch the game on Thanksgiving Eve, Penguins go 0-for-5 on the man advantage. Before then, there were a couple people echoing the same sentiment of, well, we're the team that's gotten the least amount of power play opportunities in the National Hockey League. And yes, there is something to be said for that. But it's not like it looked like they were just trying to get on the right page. It just looked like nothing they were doing was effective. And then on Wednesday, that excuse went out the door and the production continued to be flatlined. 0-for-5. The team loses 1-0, so obviously a game in which you would wish to get at least one power play goal to push that into overtime against a really good team in your own division in the New York Rangers, but they were unable to capitalize. They were unable to score. They were unable to really create grade-A chances. They had 5 shots on goal on those 5 power play opportunities. Just simply not good enough. And with that performance, they dropped to 25th in the NHL this season, and they've converted on only 13.7% of their power play chances to this point in the season. So I said they reached a breaking point. What has happened since then? We saw some changes at Penguins practice on Thanksgiving. The top unit is as follows. Sidney Crosby, Jake Guentzel, and Erik Karlsson remain. But the final two, Vinny Hinostroza and redeem Zahorna. Big body in Zahorna, I would assume that's for the net front presence of it all, but we'll talk about those changes in a little bit. Second unit looked as follows. Jeff Carter, Alex Nylander, Riley Smith, Evgeny Malkin, and Chris Letang with Marcus Pedersen rotating in. So very, very different units in practice at Cranberry yesterday. And then, when asked about it post-practice, Mike Sullivan said this, quote, "We're trying to find ways to bring solutions to the table. A little bit of change may be a good thing at this particular point in time for these units. A little bit of change indeed is what these guys need, because when you look at why they're not succeeding, it's a wholesale issue. It's not just the personnel. It is partly on the power play system and the system that they employ. But also, the system can't be held completely liable when you have players of that talent. No matter what the system is, those players should be able to capitalize more than 13% of the time. I mean, you're talking about three Hall of Famers and a 40-goal scorer, a multi-time 40-goal scorer, and Jake Guentzel, and another very good veteran NHL goal scorer in Riley Smith, who's been up there for the majority of this season. You would need to get something going, even if the system was a complete and utter failure. It's a combination of both, like I talked about in my Iceberg recap on that game from the New York Rangers on Thursday. But something tells me they're not really going to roll with these units for very long. I don't know why. It's possible that they do. And like Mike Sullivan said, sometimes it's a good thing to go and look for some change, to institute a little bit of a wake-up call for your players. So maybe they do run with this. I think maybe the Hinostroza spot is being reserved for Brian Rust, who will not play once again tonight against the Buffalo Sabres, although he did skate with the club before the game at morning skate. Maybe you see him come back tomorrow against the Toronto Maple Leafs. Maybe that's where he slots in. Maybe you just have your first line of Crosby, Guentzel, and Brian Rust out there wheeling and dealing with Erik Karlsson and the big body of Radim Zahorna in front of the net. Maybe that's what they go with. But at the same time, even if they don't stick with it, to practice with these particular units is a great idea. It seems like a way, above all, to get these players out of their comfort zone. What if everybody said that has watched that power play over the past couple of days? They look too comfortable, especially for a team that's 25th in the league on the power play. They're way too comfortable. Force them to play to the system, not rely on simple chemistry and simple talent with the muscle memory of the other players. Malkin and Crosby have played together for 18 seasons. Crosby and Guentzel and Malkin have all played together for the past 7-plus seasons. Yes, Karlsson is new. Yes, Riley Smith is new. But still, these guys rely on their talent to make these plays, and not always doing it in a way that is crisp, clean, and with a purpose. To get them to do that, maybe you just got to shake them a little bit. And that's what the Penguins did at practice on Thursday, on Thanksgiving. And that's what they might employ tonight against the Buffalo Sabres, or tomorrow against the Toronto Maple Leafs. It's a back-to-back against two teams in the Atlantic Division that are far from pushovers, and they're two big games for the Pittsburgh Penguins, who currently sit 3 points out of a playoff spot at American Thanksgiving. And some of you will say, okay, that's fine, show me the standings in January. But at this juncture, the Penguins are going to need to turn things around and make sure that they perform well to move back up into the standings, get above some of these other teams, and sit in a playoff spot, because it's always easier fighting when you have a spot in the race than it is fighting when you're outside of the picture looking in.
I'm Alex Rodriguez.
And I'm Jason Kelly.
From Bloomberg, this is The Deal. Each week, you'll hear us in conversation with business icons.
This show will explore deal-making across sports, media, and entertainment.
That is a harsh lesson in business.
Sports is not as simple as bringing a bunch of big names together.
I didn't want to do another stomp you out speech.
It opened up so many more doors.
The show is called The Deal.
Listen to The Deal.
Listen to The Deal on Spotify.
So, I agree with the personnel changes. I think they needed to be made. What I would look to roll with personally, and that's if I was Mike Sullivan, which I'm obviously not, but if I was Mike Sullivan, I'd roll with Crosby, Guentzel, Karlsson, which he is. I like the addition of Zahorna, but I'd put Chris Letang up on that first unit as well. I would put Crosby, Guentzel, Karlsson, Letang, and Zahorna as your first power play unit. let Zahorna be in the net front, which is what I expect him to do if they roll out with the power play units they practiced with yesterday, not simply because he's a big body, which it does play a factor. Obviously, you want him screening the net front. You want him getting in front of the goaltenders. You want him making it difficult for other teams to clear out that net front. That's great. And that's a huge reason as to why he's probably on that unit. It's because of how good his hands are and tight. Jeff Carter's probably better at being a net front presence when it comes to being an immovable object, but when it comes to picking up the rebounds, getting those garbage goals, putting the puck in the back of the net, I think at this juncture, Radim Zahorna is probably a better option than Jeff Carter, hence the reason that Radim Zahorna is probably on that unit. Not to mention, if the Penguins get fully healthy, if they even get one guy back, if they get Brian Rust back, there's a chance Jeff Carter's out of the lineup. So why practice with him on the top power play unit? Why try to get something working with that when you have a guy in Zahorna who has seemingly solidified a spot, at least for the time being and for the near future, in this Penguins lineup as a terrific third line option, which is what he's been all season long. So I agree with the changes. I agree that changes needed to be made. I don't know if it's going to be enough to wake them up, because at the end of the day, you know, they went through 16, 17 games and they didn't wake up to that point in an 0-for-5 night on Wednesday and a little bit of change on Thanksgiving. Does that end up doing the trick for the Pittsburgh Penguins? They need it to. They need their power play to be better, because if they don't, they're going to be on the outside looking in for a very long time this season. That's it for this episode of Iceberg to Go. Penguins play in just about 2.5 hours here against the Buffalo Sabres, but I hope everybody had a very happy Thanksgiving. Everybody's still eating and pigging out and leftovers and enjoying a fun sports weekend, whether it be in Pittsburgh or somewhere else. But thank you guys so much for tuning in. Remember, you can find us on YouTube at Inside the Penguins or anywhere you get your podcasts from.